Thank you, Pastor David. It is lovely to be here. I got in last night, not from Africa, but from the Eastern States. And so it's lovely to see you all. And for people who weren't here last year, I'm one of the many missionaries this church supports. You are so active, even to the ends of the earth. I'm going to, before I start, I'll tell you very briefly what I've been doing and what I do. Basically, I worked as a full-time stay-in-the-spot missionary for 20 years. I was in Bolivia for 10 years and Mozambique for 3 years, Ukraine for 5 years. And then God called me to be an Aaron or Hur. Do you remember the story in Exodus, holding up the arms of the Moses on the ground, the permanent people on the ground? And so for the last, I think, 12 years, I have just travelled around, usually going to one continent for a year and just working with national pastors or missionaries there saying, what do you want me to do for a month or so? And they, as long as I can do it, I do that and I plug into their work. Because you're plugging into me, you have been working all over the globe. I have just recently got back. I think I've probably been in Spain, which is in the blue area. I do third world countries because that's what God called me to. But I was in Spain, and I go to Spain regularly because there's a million Latino or South American immigrants there. Some of them from my ex-Bible college students, and they're trying to plant churches in a very Western anti-God nation. And so I go to Spain quite a bit. So usually I have just got back. We're not actually having a missions sermon, but I've got a wonderful testimony in the middle of our sermon. And I have just got back this time. This year was dedicated to Africa. Because of air tickets expensive from Australia, you can't just zoom here and there. I usually go to Africa for a year, South America for a year, Asia, etc. And I work a lot with the Bolivian Assemblies of God missionaries now, who are all over the world. And they really go to the ends of the earth. They go to the Siberia. They go to the Burkina Faso. They go to the Sarawak to unreach people groups. I plug into them. And you plug into me. So we are, even if you mightn't realising it, reaching the ends of the earth. So I have just come back from a couple of months in Africa. I've had a few health issues, which we all have from time to time, or last year. So I didn't do my whole year in Africa. When Rochelle asked me and said, would I come? I said, no, I can't come this year, June? Because I'll be in Africa all year. But then there was a few health glitches and a few family things. And who knows, all things work together for good. So I thought, well, I could zoom back for a month or so and then go back and finish Africa. So this time I have only worked in Uganda. You have worked in Uganda and Madagascar. And then later in the year, I'll go back to 3 more nations in Africa that I'll be telling you about. So you've been doing a wonderful work, people, in planting a very big church in the capital, which is teetering in lots of issues, but they're going brilliantly. The power of God was there. They have 3 meetings Sunday. When I was there last time, they had 80 people. Now they have 3 meetings of 800 each. In the last meeting, the power of God hits the place so much, and you mightn't believe this, but God, it is true, they have a deliverance meeting. Because maybe we don't need it here, maybe we do, but they have a lot of witchcraft and they've got new Christians all the time. And so the last meeting, the leaders, I was a bit freaked out. I had to be a leader. Well, I am a leader, and we're all leaders in the Lord. But I had to go and pray for the people. I had to preach. And then the pastor led in this prayer. I didn't understand what he was praying for because it was another language. And we had to go into, it's a massive theatre, and go around and pray for people. I said, fine, even though I don't understand the language. But I didn't realise that when he prays for people from the platform, demons manifest. And a lot of them vomit. So you're going around. This is new Christians coming in that have got all this nasty stuff from the enemy in them. You're going around praying for people but trying not to slip over on all the vomit. So that was very... But you've got to remember that people are getting free in Jesus' name. And then Uganda, I haven't got time to tell you all about that because we have a wonderful message and it's actually for you. So let's pray and let's just dive into the message. But you are doing, I want to thank you and I want to say that I'm just a link in the chain. You are too, and so are those national pastors and missionaries. And we're doing it for the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we are here, as Pastor David said, for you, because you are alive, you are powerful, and you have a message of salvation for all of mankind. And Lord, you're a living God. Now we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak through me in this meeting and touch hearts and encourage us and empower us so we can do more for you and your kingdom. All the glory for Jesus alone. Amen. And amen. So Rochelle told me to give that little bit of introduction because there might be people here who don't know me and don't know what this church is involved in. And I'm only one of how many missionaries do you support? About 10. So you can imagine their stories, what you are doing through all of them. And other people here who are involved in missions too, I know. And I could ask you, I could ask each one of you, well, what have you done? I was here a year ago. What have you been doing for the Lord? I need the glasses. And some of you, I'm sure, would excitedly tell me about, you know, what's been going on in your connect group or your neighbourhood, etc., etc., and all the things that you've achieved and been involved in. Praise God. But others of you would hang your head and feel really ashamed and say, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart and I would like to go and be a missionary. I would like to win all these people in my neighbourhood for the Lord, but I've got lots of issues in my life still. I've got problems and difficulties and circumstances that only the Lord knows, which has really kind of restricted me. They're probably, I don't know you, but he knows you. A lot of people are in that situation, especially if you're in old age, which I'm also entering. It limits us. And we need to remember, firstly, that greatness isn't just in constructing material things. Yes, it is good to build churches and schools and one of my pastors has been building a Christian medical centre in Bolivia. We've sent odd offerings, so you have. You've built a medical centre in Bolivia, Christian medical centre, i.e. hospital where they're operating already. And that's wonderful, but most of us personally in our little worlds, we feel we haven't got a lot of greatness. But we have to remember that Jesus actually, when he was on earth, he didn't build anything material, did he? He didn't build churches or schools or hospital, but he was great. He was wonderful. He was the Son of God. But he was great firstly because he submitted to the Father's plan for his life. So we have to make sure that we're doing that despite our limitations and difficulties. Keep saying, Lord, just keep me in your hand. Keep me in your path, in your plan. And in Jesus' case and to ours too, the plan for Jesus was yielding to all the suffering that led to the cross. And then, of course, all the agony and suffering dying on the cross. So we have to also, greatness in our life will be submitting, yielding our lives. And sometimes it takes a daily or a weekly reminder that we have to keep surrendering because the world is very attractive, isn't it? And it kind of tries to grab us back in. But real greatness is surrendering to God's plan for our life and to also be willing to go to the cross. For us, going to the cross is denying ourselves daily, and I think as Rochelle or David said, deciding to think that we're here not for me, me, me and mine, but to serve others, to serve God first. And Jesus had, as a man on earth, he had to go through all those temptations that we do. And he wasn't concerned with, he didn't measure or value his life on how much he had achieved materially. Yes, it's nice to see results. But he never had one of his disciples saying, count how many followers we have or count how many miracles we've done this week. No, his greatness was in choosing to obey God, the plan God had, and submitting to us in a very humble way. He always, as we know in the Gospels, he always called himself Son of Man, not Son of God. And even in the book of Revelations, when he's going to come back and reign as our warrior king and establish his perfect kingdom on earth, the book of Revelations, he's still referred to most as the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. What a saviour we have. So we first of all have to get the concept of greatness in the perspective that God has, not just the world. And we don't have to worry if we don't see a lot of material results. Yes, I'd like to lead hundreds of people to the Lord each week. But it doesn't usually happen. It doesn't often happen at all. And it doesn't mean that I can't do great things or the Lord can't do great things through me or through you. Now, today, I believe that God is saying that there are two important spiritual markers that he wants to see in the lives of all believers. So that includes us. And I believe that heaven is really real. So you've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit up there, but you've also got the angels and you've also got the saints who were Christians who died before us. And I think some of them, or all of them, I'm not sure, the Bible doesn't say exactly, get limited glimpses at times of what's going on down here on earth. And there are two important spiritual markers that God wants us to evaluate that we do have right in our lives. And the first one is that we are saved by faith in the blood of Jesus, praise God, but then walking in what he wants us to do, his plan for our lives. And we need to get the, and then the second one, we'll look at that in detail in a minute. Then the second one, the spiritual marker that he wants us to understand is important in our life is the second one is that we are overcoming. Despite what the enemy has thrown against us, despite the limitations that we have and all the difficulties that are peculiar to our particular situation, that we have stood on the line and said, I'm still going to trust the Lord. Yeah. I have unanswered questions. I feel restricted. I can't get work. I've got this issue or that issue, but I'm going to persevere for Jesus to the end. But let's just look briefly at those two in more detail. And the first one, God does have a plan for everybody's life that does include good works. I'm not knocking good works. But to get it in context, we can have a look. Now, I didn't give the men up the back my Bible verses, but if we could have, please, I'll have a look, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Is it possible to get it up or is it without, we'll find it actually on paper, if not. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Most of us know it anyway. The Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. But also verse 10, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do God's works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So for each one of us, he has good works prepared. And we might have our limitations, but those good works are according to, biblically, as Pastor David said, I think too, some of us have one talent, some of us have two, some of us have 8, 9, 10. And some of us have different restrictions in our lives, but he has a plan for each one of us. And the good works that he wants us to do are not just concrete material works. I can't do that. I haven't got muscles anymore. I haven't got a brain for computers, etc. It is according to God's plan. As Pastor David said too, what keeps me on track sometimes is there's a lot of Bible verses about that judgment seat of Christ that we have to appear before to receive rewards when we get to heaven by the blood of Jesus. But you don't have to worry about what anybody else is doing or what they can or can't do or even what you can or can't do, because God has a plan for your life. And that plan, you can be doing, this church does great things. You can be doing great things individually by your giving and your praying and your going to the nations through your missionaries. That's incredible, isn't it? You know, you might have to work the 9 to 5, or these days it's often 9 to 7 job, but you're still using your hours and your resources and your prayers to do great things extending God's kingdom. And that's very encouraging. And there's no point in trying to race off to Africa to build a Bible college if you're actually called to be a great mum. The plan of God for you is for you to be a great mum here and run a connect group and do the flowers. We don't have flowers in this church, but, you know, some churches overseas, doing the flowers is just major. And if that is your gifting and that is your calling, there's no point in trying to do anything else. Now, probably some of us who study a little bit of history, we know, or we all know, he passed, he went to heaven. He went to the judgment seat of Christ last year, the year before. Billy Graham, wow, what a reward he would have got. But he was called to be not just an evangelist. Some of you are called to be evangelists, but some of us are called to be evangelists in a local level, in our office, in our neighbourhood, in our work. He was called to be a public evangelist in stadiums. And he fulfilled his call. I was called to be a missionary to third world countries. And I'm trying to fulfil my call. Susanna Wesley was John Wesley's mother. John Wesley was a revivalist that basically won millions and millions of souls and established millions of churches in England centuries ago. But his mother was called to be a mother and bring up, they had a lot of kids, 15 or something, 17, and some of them died and some of them were kind of difficult and delinquent-like. But she poured the gospel into those kids, and two of them, Charles and John Wesley, ended up transforming the nation of Britain in those times. That was her calling. So we have to decide and we have to talk to the Lord. Lord, I want to do lots of works for you, but show me what the works you have assigned to my life and my plan, and then not feel ashamed if we can't do what Billy Graham's doing or somebody else. We only have to do what the Lord has programmed and given us to do, which again is a matter of deciding. And then the second thing, as I said, that heaven's really watching and observing as a spiritual marker in our lives today is our overcoming power. What do they call that battery that keeps going? Ever ready. That even when we get pushed down, that we just determine in our hearts that we're going to serve Jesus anyway. Yeah. And we're going to glorify him anyway, despite all the problems and adversities. And I gather we haven't because I didn't give them the verses. I'm going to read very quickly. It's all through Revelations, which talks about lots of rewards at the end time. But I'm going to read you quickly a couple of verses. And there's so many verses in Revelations about rewards and overcoming. And that means whatever's limiting you, thrown at you, unfair in life. I'll read to you Revelations 2:7. It says, Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, or the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Then I'm going to jump to verse 10, and it says, Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. But be faithful to the point of death, or overcome, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Then we can jump to 2:17. It's all through Revelations. Who has ears? Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, or in some versions, who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, not only to the one who receives it. We can jump to 26. I probably won't read them all, but they're all talking about to the one who overcomes. 26:26 says, To the one who overcomes, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And then we have three more in chapter 3. So there's promise after promise to those who overcome whatever they've got against them. And that is what makes you great. Yes, not just your works, just not just what visibly you can say you've done or you've achieved, which is for Jesus, which is great, but also what we have overcome and your determination to get up again like the ever-ready battery or the little bunny that they have after that you have survived and said, Jesus, I'm going on for you. Despite the disappointments, I'll read these, the delays, the great misunderstandings, the conflicts, the heartbreaks, the infidelities, the divorce, the poverty, the failures, and all sorts of unanswered questions, the persecution, the rejection, and when nobody understands what we've been through, all the injustices, and there's a few of those on earth, isn't there? But up there, they're looking down to see who's going to just not lie down and have permanent pity parties and decide to stay in the valley of death of this marriage or the valley of death of my job, but I'm going to get up again. I don't understand why it happened, but Lord, I'm still here. You've still got a purpose for me. Okay? And the incredible thing is that sometimes all these tragedies and adversities, if we realise it afterwards when the hurts have healed, they actually give us a new pulpit, or we could say a door to ministry to other people who are going through or have gone through similar things. People who've gone through divorce aren't going to all the pain. I've got a friend at the moment and she's not going to listen to me because I'm kind of going to say, well, get over it. Go on. I have no compassion in that area because I've never suffered it. But I've suffered an awful lot of ill health. I'll have a lot of sympathy and compassion for you there. But that friend of mine called Val, she's in the eastern states, is listening to my other friend who's walked through the pain of divorce. And once you have been through that darkness and that terrible experience, it qualifies you to have authority in that area to speak into other people's lives for Jesus. Okay, I do have a bit more compassion. But it is hard to try and relate to experiences we haven't been through. Now, all of us sometimes, We feel like we've hit a wall in life. And, you know, we might have thought God's leading us in this way or this relationship's going to work out, and we go forward and it's just bang, it doesn't work. And we have to give up. And I was sent years ago by my mission sending organisation to go to Ukraine to reach the Tatars, who were an unreached people group. They were Muslims and they were classified as totally unreached. There weren't any viable churches among them. It all sounds wonderful on paper. Till you get there and you've got to learn the Russian language to, for starters, plus there's another language. And then you discover after all that that they don't really want to be reached. Now, that's not necessarily permanent, but you have some very, very resistant people groups that take years of chipping away, chipping away. And I got very, very discouraged. I was getting nowhere. I'd get back to my missions organisation and say, well, they don't want to be reached. I'm useless. And, you know, I had girls meeting in my house because you can only minister to girls in Muslim countries if you're a woman. And apart from that, there was a church meeting once a month. I thought, I'm not happy just having a church meeting once a month, but my organisation saying no. I said, can I work in orphanages? Can I work in villages? No, just reach the Tatars. And I hit rock bottom emotionally at that point. And I remember rocking up to the house of another missionary who was older than me. And I knocked on the door and I just felt I must be out of God's will. And often we're not, but we feel as though. And she opened the door and I burst into tears. Her name was Carolyn. And I said, Carolyn, I've lost the will of God. Like I've lost a needle in a haystack. And she looked at me and she kind of said, oh, well, come in and have a cup of tea. And then she said something that changed my life. She said, basically, well, it's not like that. Yes, God can give a vision and can give great dreams or specific words, but most of the time, she said, from my life, my experience, I just honour the Lord, I talk to him and I obey his basic commandments. And then because I do that and I worship him because of my salvation, and then I find I just stumble into the will of God, the next step in the will of God. A door opens. I don't run around looking, saying, I've lost the will of God. And I thought, wow. And that really, really helped me. And so for anybody here who's down on themselves and saying, I don't know what the will of God for my life is, the will of God is where you are now. And so relax. And it doesn't matter if you don't have great doors. We don't all have doors to preach in stadiums like Billy Graham. But we use the little that we have and then he multiplies it. And so what Carolyn was trying to tell me was, I just, being a Christian in the new covenant, all I really have to do is, you know, the old covenant had 365 or more laws that we have to check we're obeying. But after Jesus, we only have to really follow three basic commands. And you know them. I'll say them off by heart because it'll be quicker than getting them out of the Bible. John 13:34 says, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we have to just, whoever God brings across our path, we have to think, wow, I've got to show love to this person, even when I don't feel like it. That's the first one. The second one, Matthew 22:37-40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. So every morning it's a priority. I do make, Lord, I want to spend time with you first, time in worship, time in your word, time to love you more so that then you could sort out all the issues and the problems I have to face in the day. And then the third one is the one that's already been mentioned for our conference and why this church is mad about missions, because it's Jesus' last command. And he only gave three kind of real commands, and it's Matthew 28:19, and it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And that's what you're doing here through your missionaries. I want to finish, I'm not finished yet, with this testimony of a wonderful Ethiopian man that had a lot against him. His name is Fanta. He is really Fanta. And he was 6 years old and he got, nobody knows, he was in a tiny Ethiopian village and he got either cerebral malaria, which damages you, or he had a stroke, even at 6 years. And his left side of his body ended up paralysed and it then shriveled up with time. And so Fanta, it all shriveled up like that and he couldn't walk his left leg, left arm, and he had to actually hop everywhere on a stick. So he was very limited. He had restrictions. He would have prayed for healing, but nothing happened. So he became a vibrant Christian anyway because he knew Jesus had died for his sins. He went on in life. He grew up in his later teenage years. He felt God calling him. He was called to be a missionary. He even knew in his case he did have something. God can give us specific things, but often he doesn't. And Fanta knew he was called to the cattle herders on the hot lowlands of the Balati River in his own country in Ethiopia. And there were a few problems. Down there, they hated all the other tribes and they were cannibals. So it was totally unreached. Anyway, his church had a big missions conference every year like we did here. And every year after the speakers, then they would send out young men in pairs or young women in pairs to go to the unreached tribes in Ethiopia and beyond. And they'd commission and pray them and support them as they went out. And so off he went. Fanta went to 2 years Bible college, which wasn't a bad idea. But every year, even at the two-year Bible college, he'd come back and say, God's called me to the cattle herders of the Balati River. Can I go out? But nobody else wanted to go to the cattle herders of the Balati River. And nobody wanted to go with Fanta because he could hardly walk. And he did this for 3 years, and then the next year he put up his hand again and they looked again and saw his leg. So they said, well, why don't you just stay back as an intercessor for all the missions teams? You can be the chief intercessor. And Fanta says, no, God has called me. And they said, okay, well, I suppose we can let you go, but nobody wanted to go with him. To get to the Balati River took 2 days of walking. There were no roads. But it took Fanta 5 days of hopping with his stick. And he got there and he just knew that God had called him to these people. And everybody else was expecting him to be eaten. But they welcomed him as he hopped into the clearing. Because after 5 long days of hopping on his stick, he discovered something amazing that made this tribe different from all the rest of the tribes, probably not only in that country but in the world. They worshipped or they honoured cripples. Nobody actually knows why, whether they had some epidemic in the past, epidemic of polio, and there are a lot of people who were cripples, or maybe some chief's son, important chief, he had a crippled son. Nobody knows, but they honoured cripples. So they invited Fanta to live with them. They built him a hut and they said, yes, share your message. So the Spirit of God had directed Fanta to go to the only tribe where he could safely go and no one else could. And he took advantage of that. So he shared his message, and then over the next year, he hopped to all the neighbouring villages of the same ethnic group and shared the message of the gospel. I'll read the statistics. Within a year, 250 people had believed and accepted Jesus as the Lord. And then at the end of that year, many of them came with Fanta. As he hopped 5 days, they walked very slowly to go back to the church, big church missions conference. And today, well, when there are more than 20 churches full of young people have been trained at Bible college from the Balati River cattle herders, and now they're in leadership. So I'll finish with this verse. That's our God. He has a plan. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've got issues, if you've got restrictions, if you had the wrong end of the stick in life. So I'll finish with this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:26. You again know it, but it's rather nice. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, not many of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So don't think you can't do anything for the Lord. You're already doing great things. But don't look at your restrictions and your difficulties, and don't be envious of the plan of God for somebody else, because he has a plan for you that may be different. But just aim to fulfill that plan for him, what he has for you, and say, Jesus, I want to shine for you. I want to do my best for you until the very end. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we praise you for the privilege of living and serving you on this planet. We praise you that you chose us, and you chose us with a purpose and a plan. Let me be exalted for you or humbled for you, whatever you want, Lord. Let me be employed for you or laid aside by you. Let me be let me have all things I need for life, but let me have nothing if you so desire it. Let all the glory and honour go to you, but make me fruitful. Use my life in the little and the big. I freely and totally yield everything in my life to your pleasure and your disposal and your glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you just having salvation and being on this planet to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.